Yes, you know what time it is. I don't need to tell you, but I will. It's the Film Drunk Fraudcast. It's another episode. This is episode, I think, 69.
Oh.
So you can celebrate by 69ing the person to your left. This is your...
Oh.
Or your right.
Yeah.
This is your ear rapist, Ben. I'm here with blogger extraordinaire Vince.
That is me.
Retired NFL potential, probably Hall of Famer, Brendan.
You better ask somebody.
And we have Guinness Book World Record holder for the greatest tweet of all time, currently blooped in, Joe King.
What's up, pussy lickers?
Yeah, that's us. We are all the pussy lickers here. Joe, I mean, I think you really almost shut Twitter down single-handedly. Did you get the tweet approved with the Guinness Book of World Records first, or did you just go ahead and...
It's crazy because I don't even really know what happened. I just... it just started to happen. It was just one of those things that it's like it was... I said all my Twitter's an inevitability. There was no other thing other than it for it to happen once I understood that what I had was the greatest tweet of all time. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, totally.
And I was actually the best tweeter of all time. And then it was just a matter of just putting it out there and letting people know about it.
So do you feel like Twitter was basically made for you to release this great tweet?
Yeah, dude. Absolutely.
Like they finally reached their purpose.
So exciting to realize it.
Yeah.
So, what's your reaction so far? I mean, I think the fallout is still kind of permeating throughout the Twitter sphere. What are your thoughts right now, Joe? Tell us what you're thinking.
Do you think that your listeners like know?
Yeah. Why don't you give us some context on what exactly happened? Kind of the build up to it, right. Then the actual release.
I was sitting at my job at the real estate company, and then I had this tweet that was do you think pedophiles have one night light stands? That was the idea, and then I was like, this is the fucking great. I'm gonna promote this as the greatest tweet of all time and build it up. And then I just started tweeting that I had the greatest tweet of all time, and I was gonna. And then pretty soon, like people were retweeting it. And the next thing I knew, I like 2 hours later, I looked at my Twitter, and like I had gotten like 300 followers, and there was all these like fucking kids and shit on Twitter, like, "Hey man, this better not fucking suck, dude. This better be the fucking greatest tweet of all time." And I just kept going with it, kept building it up, and then I started to feel the pressure. And so I said I was going to announce it at midnight, right? And so I just like kept building it up, and then.
Well, you also said
there were people on the East Coast because I said midnight Pacific time I was going to announce this tweet, right? And there are people on the East Coast that started tweeting me like, "Hey, bro, like, is there any way you can release the tweet earlier? Because I don't want to stay up till 3 a.m.
Well, and then you also said that you would only.
I was like, "Sorry, dudes, I can't do it." But then I started to feel bad because I didn't actually have like I had tweeted the tweet joke that I was gonna do earlier. I just like tweeted it, so I didn't even have a fucking tweet to like announce. And then I thought, I thought it would be awesome if I just like waited till right till midnight, and then it was just like, "All right, you guys, fucking ready? This is gonna be amazing!" And then just right at midnight, just deleted my account, my entire Twitter account. But I decided against that, and so at 11 o'clock, I postponed the Twitter to the next day.
Yeah, you said it wasn't ready.
No, just because there was like people that were staying up till 3 a.m. and they were like, and I felt bad for them. I was like, "Dude, I don't want these fucking people to like not get sleep, like, because I'm just fucking with them." Like, there was people that followed me on Twitter that like will always like talk to me on Twitter and like retweet my jokes and stuff. And so like I felt really bad if I was like fucking them over. I didn't care about like all the other people that were just like, you know, like just like kind of globbing on because they thought something might happen. But it's really funny. Like, people were like, first of all, I think I maxed out at like 700 followers that I actually gained. And it's like, that's really like nothing. Like, I'm sure like big celebrities gain that like in a day, but like people were reacting like, oh, you fucking, the pressure is on now, bro. Let's see what you fucking got. Like, they were like writing all these tweets, like angry at me. And it was pretty amazing. I mean, it was and it wasn't the most amazing thing that has ever happened on Twitter ever.
Well, you got to finish the story. So then you're building up the next day as well.
Remember? Yeah, so I was just fucking like pumping everybody up, like, dude, this is gonna be the fucking best tweet of all time. And I was like, I was also doing the thing of like, guys, I can't believe this is happening. This is all happening so fast. It's so real. I never thought this could happen. And like, people were cheering me on, like, do it, dude, release the GTOAT. Like, they were fucking, come on, man, you can do it. And I was like, I'm scared, guys, I'm scared. And they were like, no, dude, come for it, it's going to be fucking awesome. Like, I had no idea. And the whole time I was, like, texting Vince, like, what should I fucking put? And I had, like, a bunch of people, like, texting me, hey, man, you should put this. And I ended up...
Wait, I also like shoot. right before you're about to announce, you went, oh shit, my phone's about to die. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, no, I said, hey guys, sorry, dude, I'm gonna have to do it tomorrow. There's not enough battery left in my phone to tweet. Like, as I tweeted that, but yeah. So the final tweet was. It was a Kim Kardashian retweet. I said that I had hacked into Kim Kardashian's phone.
Right, right.
Okay.
I said
I had hacked into Kim Kardashian's phone and stolen this tweet from her. And that the tweet was, I like to mush poopy into my vagina because I like the way it burns. Smiley face.
Well, that was worthwhile. I mean, I feel like they got their sleep worth. That was worth the sleep, you know, deprivation.
It's up there. Like, I was super proud of that tweet. And, I mean, saying that a girl likes to mush, that's a lot of times when I do stand up, I'll introduce, like, a girl comedian like that. I'll be like, this next chick likes to mush poopy up her pussy because she likes the way it burns.
Isn't that an Eminem?
The next comic.
Isn't that an Eminem song?
Yeah, it's probably fucking ludicrous.
Also, I mean, just for what it's worth, you know, I don't want to be another one of your Twitter haters, but I actually preferred the Beyonce jacking off to PB football end zone dances. I thought that was even funny.
Yeah, that one was pretty good, too. I felt really good about that one.
Yeah, you should. You should have.
Those don't come along that often, though.
You earned that one, man. You earned that one.
Dude, just because those little boys in with the big huge helmets on their like tiny bodies, like dancing around, it's already funny. And then just imagine a guy having like just a video of that. He's just fucking he's just rubbing them.
And then Beyonce.
I saw a video today where it was just it was like little kids doing taekwondo, and they were just they were like maybe three or four, and it was just. They had all the pads on and stuff, but they were just like whiffing the whole time. It was the funniest thing ever.
So Joe,
dude, I should just have a YouTube channel where it's me pretending to jack off to just different like peewee sports. or maybe not.
Hey Joe, so the question that all our listeners want to know is, where do you go from here after the greatest tweet of all time?
I don't know, dude. Some people were calling it a troll, but I don't really think it was a troll because I feel like the people that were along for the ride, they got their money's worth.
Yeah.
They got to be part of a journey, yeah, really.
It's about the journey.
It's not about the destination. And I think that's what the people who are upset are missing here.
Okay.
Well, but at the same time, that destination here was the visual of Kim Kardashian mushing shit into her vagina, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's
which
true.
Is like a really cool place to go.
Yeah. So actually, it was a journey and a destination.
But I don't know. I'm still getting a lot of hate. I think what I'm going to do is.
I don't think it'll be until after your time that it'll be fully appreciated.
Right.
What do you mean, like?
You're like the Andy Kaufman.
Well, I think
you'll have to die, Joe.
Yes.
Well, I think that what I'm going to do is just like every like month or so, I'm going to go back through all the people that added me, like added me and then hated me or were mad at me, and I'm just going to like tweet to them like, "Hey, you, fuck you, you piece of shit." Just like once a month for the rest of my life, just to get them going, so I can have a whole another series of like hateful retweets, because some of them are so awesome.
I'm just glad you've got this so planned out. It sounds like you've got all the steps in place.
Well, yeah. No, I mean it's definitely been something that has kept me from working. In fact, my when I was doing it, I got so excited with it, and I was tweeting so constantly that my boss actually like said to me like, "Dude, are you even work? Like, what are you laughing about? Like, what are you doing? Like over here?" And I was like, "Oh man, it's nothing, dude. I just like trying to do this thing on Twitter, blah blah blah." But he's like a stony, like dude, like so. He's just like, "Okay, what?" He walked away. But
well, I think I feel like we've adequately covered the greatest tweet of all time.
By the way,
we'll come back to it.
What about that dude that I tweeted you, that 18-year-old British kid? Did you see him?
He was great.
I don't know. I feel like the novelty sort of wears off on, look at this dumb guy's feed, because there's about 8 quintillion of those.
Yeah, I know, but that guy was so fucking stupid. I mean, first of all, he was this 18-year-old British guy, and he like tweeted me. He's like, well, first of all, he kept calling me cunt, which I thought was awesome, and then he kept calling me a loser cunt, and then I was like, I said to him, I was like, whatever, dude, you're just a vagina faced little twink that loves cum. And then he's like, wrong. He goes wrong.
On all counts.
18-year-old actor, writer, comedian, like listed all this shit. I was like, oh wait, bro, I guess I was wrong. You're not a vagina piece twink that loves cum. You're fucking gnarly. But his like tweet, his Twitter feed is like the most British shit I've ever seen. Like it'll be like, I read a poem about a giraffe. And I'll have like some
British people
poem
do
that.
He
wrote like funny poem like giraffes are this silly creature.
What if the giraffe was wearing a powdered wig though?
Oh, now we're talking.
I think it'd make it more regal.
Giraffe wearing a hat.
or a parliament filled with giraffes wearing powdered wigs.
I wish giraffes made a noise that we could.
What they do?
Is it really?
By the way, that noise is Brett. He escaped from the squirrel kingdom.
Oh, I didn't escape. I'm on parole. All right, there are rules.
Parole and probation.
Furlough.
Yeah.
I get about 3 hours a day away from the squirrels, and usually I use that time to go out in the wild and observe the squirrels just to make myself better at my job, you know? And it's pretty good. I saw a squirrel. He was picking up some nuts. He's running across the telephone wire, and he tripped. And then I drew his leg his weird way that his leg bent, and I'd never seen that before.
To draw the squirrel, you must become the squirrel.
So, Joe, we did have a few questions about your stand-up, so I thought I would play a short little clip here to refresh. Well,
so, Joe, how is the Falcon Cum movie coming along? Is there a script?
I don't know, dude. I actually did that. I did it on the show that Vince was on, and he was talking about, or actually, Bobby Hacker was there, and Bobby Hacker was like, he wanted to make this. I should close my blinds. Sorry, like walking around holding my balls. But so I talked to Bobby Hacker, and Bobby Hacker was talking about just doing a. Because the premise of the joke is that I have like ADD and I can't write movie lines. I can't write like a whole movie, but I have these really good lines for movies. And so just doing a movie like a short video of that, including the Falcon Cut one, where like you get actual footage of a falcon just being like, ah! Some guy just like, ah, like fucking trying to come in a
it's like a ramen bowl. It's one of the big ornate with the blue little Chinese men on it.
With Bobby's knack for green screen and After Effects, I feel like that would turn out pretty well.
And then maybe have some type of like shitty like hand puppet falcon like eating like face diving into a bowl of like Cetaphil.
It'd have to be a really big falcon.
Off his face.
Well, here's the thing, though. If the falcon was 30 feet, wouldn't the dish that you fill up, wouldn't it look like a thimble compared to that falcon's beak?
That is true.
We're talking. It would have to be a 30-foot
falcon.
Yeah, but
dude, this is the movies, man. You got to spend some disbelief. Well, maybe it's just like that's all we're there for is just to make cum. You don't really know how much cum you're actually capable of producing, do you, Vince? You spend all day just fucking in the dish.
I live to discover that.
I have a hard time.
That's my life's work to discover how much cum
I can
make.
Actually, I do know.
You should see the amount of measuring cups in his room.
Oh, God.
Staggering.
So many horrible cakes.
All right, so I wanted to play the short clip just to refresh people. Maybe people weren't around for the last joking broadcast. I don't know. Trying to be user friendly.
I'm not going to tell you about my idea for a Point Break remake, but here's the catch. The ocean is cum. Yeah, now it's not such a macho fucking thing you're doing out there. Catching waves in a tube. It's the gayest thing you can do. It's being a tube of cum. Just fucking like this close to just a wall, a 20-foot wall of cum. Feel that life energy. There's particles that go faster than the speed of light that the ocean could become one day. Much more.
Wait, did you play the last recording of the Frogcast of us listening to that? Are we like three levels of us laughing deep?
Wouldn't that be crazy if I did? No, that was just
bra.
Dude, I hadn't heard that. Like, I can't listen to myself do stand-up. Like, even that, I had to, like, pull the headphones away from my ear. Because, like, all I can think about is all just... I remember there was just, like, these Asian girls that were just staring at me like... Dude, what the fuck are you talking about right now? Like, we hate you so much.
I remember that. You tend to get that, you know, a fair amount, though, that reaction.
Yeah, I don't know why people get so mad. I guess because, well, I don't know if I did the bit there, the bit about tampons.
Yeah.
But I was doing my bit about tampons last night, and I was like rapping about tampons, and this fucking guy, I was at the Irvine Improv, and this guy yells out, he's like, hey man, are you going to talk about fucking tampons all night? And I was like, well, I mean, yes, like at least a large part of the night was going to be spent.
Maybe for
but
the
he was
next
like
5 minutes
so
at least. So
we
do have a couple of user questions for you.
Users? Users?
Listener questions. Sorry. Users? I made that, yeah.
We got a couple of junkie questions. That was going to be weird.
That was me reverting
to
my old...
Can you squeeze my balls while I shoot up?
That was me reverting
to
my old...
Hey, bro, can you hold this for a second?
Just stick it up your ass and walk north.
I got a question for you.
Can I hold $20?
I can feel my dick. I can feel my dick.
I'm good. Hey, can you light this glass pipe?
So, two questions along the same lines. What jokes? They want to know what jokes you cut out of your sets because they'd like to know what you think an audience wouldn't be ready for.
Wow. God, I'd have to fucking. I know. Dude, I can't even really say like the joke. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I pretty much anything that I don't think that maybe 5 years from now, if I'm actually able to like create a career from comedy, that it would come back and haunt me. Like, I'll say everything. But I would say anything like that I come up with, any like really horrible jokes that I come up with that have to do with the Holocaust, or simultaneously, like anything that's like super crazy racist, I obviously can't say.
Fair.
Which is lame.
Yeah. And then,
cause some of my best material is my super crazy racist, Auschwitz jokes.
If only they could just know where you're coming from. That's the hard part.
Yeah, and I'm coming from a place of hatred.
Full of Ben was so taken aback that he dropped his microphone.
Yeah, it was us Jews.
See, that's what
mean, I was metaphorically in the Holocaust myself as a Jew, so we should have made that microphone out of nickels. That hurts.
Dude, I was I'll tell you a funny Auschwitz story. So I do commercial real estate, right? And I was showing this space that I have available for lease, and it's like a vacant Marie Callender's, and I was showing it to this Armenian guy that like runs this Armenian restaurant. And you know how Marie Callender's has these huge ovens that they put pies in, and this was a really old Marie Callender, so these ovens were like super old. And and the guy goes, yeah, this oven is very old. This oven is very old. I think this is the same oven that they used to cook Jews in Germany. And I just started laughing, and I looked at him, and he was dead fucking serious. He's just like staring back at me like, I'm like, you know what? I don't think Marie Callender's probably uses the same ovens that they used to kill Jews with in Germany. I just kind of venture to guess.
We at least cleaned the chemicals off, I would hope. No, serious. I know this model. This is a Jew cooking oven. I know. Seriously, bro. Seriously,
right when Marie Callender started, like in 1946, like, look, dude, we have some really great deals on ovens coming in. They're from Germany.
You don't want to know how we got them.
Okay. Just don't ask a lot of questions.
Don't ask any questions.
Yeah, great price. Just don't ask any questions. And there's another sub question of that, which I kind of, if you can't think of this, I kind of know of one story. Someone wanted to know what the worst joke you ever told was, or just one that didn't quite go as well as you planned?
Well, I remember one time I did I had a joke about about how I didn't feel bad. I think I've talked about it on this podcast where I had a joke about how I didn't feel, how my girlfriend was like looking at pictures of charred Iraqi babies on the computer, and how she's like, oh my God, don't you feel super bad for them? And I go, I would if they were Christian, but they're not, they're pagan babies. And so I told that joke, and there was like these fucking like super gnarly like punk rock dudes that were like, fuck you motherfucker, like right like I was on this really high stage, and they just like ran to the front of the stage, and this one dude in particular had like a mohawk. He's like, fuck you motherfucker, I'm gonna fucking kill you, like saying all this shit, like just screaming at me like, dude, I'm gonna kick your fucking ass when you leave here, I'm gonna kick your ass, as he's walking out the door, you're fucking dead. And then just like walked out the door, and it was just silent for like 5 seconds. And I just looked at the audience, and they were like, yeah, man, you're like, you're fucked, dude. So they're going to kick the shit out of you.
There's not great security at most comedy shows, I've noticed. So, yeah, bro,
yeah,
you're on your own.
They look back at me like, dude, what are you going to do? You're fucked.
The bouncer's like, shit, man. I don't know what's going to go down there.
Shit, bro, you're fucked, bro. Sucks to be you, bro. Just turtle up, man.
I was at one show where you did that joke, and there was one guy that was really angry. I think it's really hard for people that it's a big problem in San Francisco, where there's a lot of people that they just think of San Francisco as being like the smart city.
So then there's like this subclass of people who aren't really smart, but they think they're smart by association, and it just sort of makes them uptight without without really having the capacity to get jokes and like understand when you're being satirical or sarcastic.
Well, I think most people enjoy being offended more than they like laughing. And it depends on the venue. I mean, I know, you know, Joe and Vince are a little, you know, on the edge in terms of pushing, trying to push the envelope. But I just feel like most people sort of like being offended before they truly like to laugh, where, you know, I think most things are pretty funny.
Well, it's funny when they're getting mad at you and you're like, no, I agree with you. That was the entire premise of the joke, was me agreeing. Yeah.
I think, too, like when I first started out, there wasn't so much like because I've been doing it for a long time. So when I first started out, stand-up comedy wasn't as cool as it is now. So like most of the people in the clubs were like in their late 30s and early 40s. Those were like how old the stand-ups were. Nowadays, it's all like young kids and like, you know, younger people, and they're trying to like push the boundaries and they're trying to be edgy. Back then, it was like I would be at the club. I'd be like the only person trying to be edgy, so I thought I would just like push it as far as possible. And sometimes I look back and I just go like, oh, I was actually just being a fucking idiot. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't, there's nothing funny about what I was saying. I was really just trying to be offensive. But I mean, there was less of a sense of like, now I think when you see somebody doing that, you're kind of like, oh, he's just trying to be edgy. Like when I was doing it, it felt really fun for me because people were actually like, they weren't like dismissing me as like trying to be edgy. They were like actually getting really fucking mad at me. You know what I mean? So it was like,
and how old were you at the time?
Fuel this like 13-year-old. Well, I started when I was 16. So I mean, but I didn't really start like doing stuff like that probably till I was like in my early 20s.
Was that before people really got, you know, people were really okay with airline food?
Yeah, I heard that was a joke there's a joke where I say, I can't remember how I set it up, but then I go, what's up with airplane food? It's like, where's the other half of my soda? And apparently that was like one of your guys' jokes from like when you were in college or something.
Yeah,
like
I heard
that.
It from Brendan and I got it to you.
Yeah, I told it at a pep rally for homecoming in 2002 or 2003.
Needless to say, it did not jumpstart Brendan's comedy career.
But I had one of those t-shirts. I had one of those t-shirts that they had put in the cannon to shoot the shirts out, and it's like packed super tight. I mean, it's like a baseball. So I just hear this one, like, so I'm like, I go up there, I'm like, they're like, all right, well, we got, like, next up, we got Brendan. He's going to come talk to you. And, you know, like, everyone else had been like, yeah, are we going to win this week? Yeah. Like, everyone claps and like, all right, well, Brendan's going to talk next. And I go on. I'm like, hey, guys, what's the deal with airline food? Like, where are you going with the other half of my soda? And then everyone's just quiet, like crickets. And then in one corner, I just hear, boo. And so then I take the T-shirt and I just throw it as hard as I can. It's like fastballed into the crowd.
That was stage awesome. Dive.
I'm sure there's no chance in hell I actually hit the person who booed. It's probably some poor girl.
Yeah. So that was your entire comedy career?
You're okay with that joke being part of my act, though?
Yeah, that's fine. Because I'm never going to get into stand-up comedy, so I'm glad that my material can live on through much better. I could never... 30-foot gay falcon who steals guys' cum, I could never do that. I could never come up with that.
Although if you just,
I'll never be that good,
Joe. If you just told the other half of your soda joke and dropped the mic and walked off, you might have a career.
Oh, just over and over again every week at the same comedy club.
I could open for Rita Rudner in Vegas.
Or if that was my closer and I was like, where's the other half of my soda? And then like spiked the mic and walked off.
It sounds like Cat Williams.
Yeah, it's like Def Comedy Jam.
Yeah, just like, peace, I'm out. Like that was my big fucking just bomb that I dropped.
But as far as your jokes not going the way you planned, I do remember one incident where, me and Joe, we used to work. The way I met Joe was that we both worked at this
sandwich cart.
Yeah, it wasn't a sandwich cart, but it was like a deli, but it didn't really advertise on the outside of the building. It was just like at the bottom of this big office building. So it was pretty much like a deli for like this gym and then like this big
suite of office buildings, and a lot of them were like dermatology and plastic surgery. And there was this one dude who had like burn scars on his face, and he was like friends with our boss. And I remember you telling our boss very specifically, like when you had a show, was one show, you're like, come, but don't bring the burn victim guy to our show. Just don't bring him to my show. And then he brought him anyway. And I guess you had like a joke about like a guy who tried to kill himself and like ended up as a burn victim. And then I guess people in the crowd were looking at this guy, like thinking that Joe had written the joke about him.
Right. And I think one of the money lines was something along the lines of, well, my life was really shitty, but since they grafted my scrotum to my forehead, things have been looking up.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the idea was, why the fuck would you save somebody that was that wanted to already kill themselves, and now you save them, but now they're a burn victim? Like, now they're definitely going to just try to kill themselves again. And that was a joke.
Did you end up talking to this guy after the show at all?
No, I dude, I think that was when do you remember those guys that were like from the East Coast?
My replacements, I do remember that.
Yeah, your replacements. Dude, I just remember about you that I thought you were like a dork, and then you like invited me to a party. Because I was always like, hey, man, dude, like, you got a UCSD? Like, are there lots of chicks there? Like, I didn't know that, like, there's no chicks at UCSD. And I was just like, yeah, man, like, invite me to some. I just want to go to your college parties, because I was just like a piece of shit that, like, hadn't gone to college yet and was just, like, making sandwiches. And it's just fucking. I was just a piece of shit. Yeah, but and I remember I thought you were a dork, but then I saw your girlfriend. She was like super hot, and then I was like, okay, well, maybe you know something I don't.
I don't want to talk about her. We had a boss that had like his hand, like I'm making a hand gesture that nobody can actually hear on this podcast.
It's like hang loose.
Yeah, he had a hang loose because I guess he like got his hand caught in the lawnmower when. And man,
hey, but did somebody say? Did Vince?
No, he didn't have. He didn't
her.
Have. He only had a.
Yeah.
I don't care. I was joking.
You said that. That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't care. I was joking.
I don't want to talk about her.
No, but yeah, he was missing his ring finger, middle finger, and index finger on one hand, so he just had like the thumb and the pinky. And yeah, he would turn around, and Joe would just immediately start making
like,
fun of him.
So this guy with this like mangled hand, he hung out with this burn victim, and then the burn victim would be like, my fucking face, everybody thinks I'm ugly. And then he would take his mangled hand and he'd pet the other guy's cheek and he'd be like, I think you're beautiful.
No, he didn't. You make that up?
That's not real.
That's not real.
Sorry, man.
You're beautiful to me. I like you just the way
that
you are.
That is a serious bummer of a hand, by the way.
Is it though, or is it just like a serious partying of a hand? Well, I mean, the only
no bad days, man.
Party your fingers right the fuck off.
That would be a bummer of a hand. You could pet the burn victim's face with your. Sure, you could.
You're beautiful to me,
dude. All you need is a thumbs up and a Coke pinky, when you think about it.
That's all you really need in life.
Yeah.
How you doing? Thumbs up, Coke pinky, I'm out.
We have some more questions, don't we?
We do, yeah. I hope neither one of them are like, hey, Vince Mancini, I remember that guy. He used to give me smoothies. And then they play this fucking podcast, and they're just like, oh my God, no!
Let me Google his name, and then find his website, and then go on iTunes and subscribe to his podcast, and then listen to 69 episodes.
That's dedication. That would be serious dedication.
Well, 68 and a half, if we're being fair.
Wait, Joe, I've got a quick question. In L.A., do you guys have the Occupy Wall Street protest going on?
Yeah. In fact, it was pretty crazy because I was Was there a second part of that question, or did you just want me
I'm curious, because we've got a whole sort of shanty town set up, and I drive by it every day. Today there's a naked guy just hanging out. Cockupy. It just reminds me of that South Park episode.
Cockupy Wall Street.
Cockupy is the plural of cockupus.
Yeah. It's a cockupy.
Cockupus Wall Street.
Cockupus.
That'd be my name if I ever had to make one up. Cockupus Wall Street here.
It just reminds me of that South Park episode where Canada wanted more money, and it was making fun of the writer's strike, and they said, just give us some of that internet money. I don't know. Give us some more money. We don't care where it comes from. And I'm just sort of curious how far it's spread, because I'm sort of confused on what maybe these guys could even tell me.
Well, it bums me out because I think there's clearly something to protest. It's just like the policy demands that you make are very complicated and specific, and there's no way that that's filtered. I don't even really like the idea of like we are the 99%, because like you're not even, I don't know, there's very specific things that you're complaining about, and that doesn't, the fact that there's like wealth inequality doesn't really the people are getting hung up on that, and that isn't really the point of the, or at least I hope it's not. In my mind, it's not.
I didn't try to turn it into a political thing. I just, hey, if you want to protest, go ahead, but have some sort of basic
signs. Give me some signs with clever slogans.
Yeah,
but I just, yeah, I feel like they're just sort of semi-stoner hobos that just want to hang out.
Well, I'm sure that's anytime you get a protest, that's what sucks about it, is like those people are just going to be there because like they're like, yeah, fuck you, man.
You get like protest groupies.
Exactly.
Who are like,
hey, yeah. They're probably loving it.
They're like,
wait, who would like, not be a protest groupie? Like,
me?
Muslims?
Me? I don't want to sleep on the street.
No,
yeah, that's what I mean.
They love like, protesting. Don't you watch CNN?
That's the whole point. Like, I mean, who in America isn't a protest groupie at a protest? Like
they're all
there's a very set group of people that do protests in America. It's not like we're overthrowing a dictator here. There are people who do this.
Right. But what I'm saying is it started with people who had a much more specific aim, and now you've got
Adbusters. That's the same crowd, right?
Now you've just got people who are like, this sucks. Fuck this.
What? Fuck, I want some of their money or
Vince
whatever.
Vince is implying there's some sort of like coherent core that's being corrupted by these
fucking
losers.
Oh, there isn't.
Losers.
I just I think they have they're tangentially onto something, but I don't think they know that.
I think they've haphazardly stumbled on some momentum and populist rage here on this a particular protest occasion.
So, well, we are being like Wall Street over the last 5 years did like fuck us pretty hard.
Whatever, and, dude, I'm super rich now.
Well, yeah. But I don't think they fuck us hard. I don't think they fucked us hard in the way that like 85% of the protesters are thinking, where they're like, I got student loans, man, I'm poor. And it's like, that's not what you're. What does that have to do with anything? Like, okay.
My thought is more. Sure, there's people making way too much money. Whatever you want to call it, they're not paying enough taxes. Companies take advantage of government kickbacks, whatever. But it's not really fucking individual people that much.
Well, yeah, it is.
How?
Yeah.
All the people whose 401ks got, like, raided.
Okay, so there was this huge mortgage crisis, right? And Joe probably knows about this because he used to do a little bit of mortgage and that sort of shit. But, I mean, so people, you know, mortgage brokers were giving out shitty mortgages. People couldn't pay them. They were creating the bonds and all this bullshit derivatives based on those mortgages that people couldn't pay.
I hate your science.
No, listen. So then, the banks were going to fail, and that was going to really fuck the economy. So the government came in, and they're like, okay, let's bail out these banks that made these bad mortgage bets. But in doing so, they just sort of left the people on the hook for their individual mortgages. Where I didn't really understand, like, why are you giving? Why would you give the money directly to the banks and not pay off some of the mortgages in the process? I don't know.
I can't argue that it's very flawed all around.
And then,
but going down and setting up tents.
Okay. Well, it's just one of those things. It's impotent rage. Like, they don't really know.
There's
going to
be more and more and more things like that throughout our entire lives. I can promise you.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there is, but yeah.
So I don't understand why going down.
It is nice to at least register your discontent. I mean, to some, you know.
Sure, but it just does nothing.
Just yelling at the customer service rep in India, just screaming your lungs out.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna get you fired, Steve.
But Brett, I tried to fix your computer. Let me try.
I'm so mad at you for making me download this thing twice.
I am so sorry for your inconvenience. I am not a tech support. I am a unicorn.
I went to high school with your cousin.
Oh, anyway, that, I just was curious. So, Joe, is there a shanty town set up? I'm not talking about Skid Row downtown.
Is there some sort of- well, the only thing I've seen is, so I work in a downtown high rise, and I was working the other day. It was like last Thursday, I think. And all of a sudden, they were like, and I started hearing helicopters and sirens and shit. And then all of a sudden, the building's like, we are on high security alert. We are on high security alert. No one will be able to enter the building or without their security card. You will not be able to enter the building without your security card.
You do a good robot, Joe. Like,
yeah, that was a good robot. Were you also doing the robot while you were saying that?
It wasn't actually a robot. It was a Mexican guy that works at the security downstairs.
Roberto.
But anyways.
Roberto.
Roberto, yeah. Roberto, that robot. But so, and then I was like, oh, fuck, like something's going on. So I hear all these, like, you know, fucking sirens. I hear all the helicopters and shit. So I'm like, oh, dude, something like crazy's going on. There's like fucking everybody's dying. So I run out and I look out the opposite side of the building, like down, and I can see the whole city. And I see about, I would say about 16 to 24, that's a very specific number, protesters with signs walking down the sidewalk. So they're not even in the middle of the street. They're walking down the sidewalk, and there's like 15 of them. Okay, the entire street has been blocked off by police. There's police on both sides. Following maybe like 6 feet behind these people on the street are three SWAT cars, or three SWAT trucks in like triangle fashion with each, and I counted, having 12 SWAT team members hanging off the back of each of the fucking trucks, and then behind them, like six cop cars.
I like how your OCD kind of shows through in your counts.
They would just kill everybody if they did anything.
There were four SWAT members, and three of them were not wearing their hats correctly.
That's how you know you're in LA. It's like, what? Look out, we got pedestrians! Everybody has.
They shouldn't be here. Why aren't they driving?
Where are their cars?
Vince just took his shirt off. Let the record show.
It was like, it's really hot in here. I mean, it was almost, it almost made me mad, because it just felt like they were, it was like, we're just going to intimidate the shit out of these people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's sort of what.
Well, I don't know. I noticed this when I moved to New York, but In Southern California, especially, the cops are way more militaristic and aggressive about everything. Whereas in New York, they like, in Southern California, you're always like, don't these cops have something better to do? And in New York, they actually act like they do have something better to do, which is kind of nice.
I love going to school in San Diego, because we'd have a party and they'd show up and they'd be like, hey, we've got better shit to do than be at your house. They're like, what, like shoot some dude in the head that's driving a tank around? Like, that happens once every decade.
We have
like,
something better.
That's not funny, bro. That's not funny.
We have something better to do than be at your house. Then why are you here?
I love
so
that's
much
the
better listen, stuff to do, bro.
Listen to that impulse.
That's always the go-to too. Whenever like a cop's giving you shit, your friend will come up and whisper, "Like, dude, you see what they did to that guy in the tank? They just shot him right in the fucking head."
That's right.
Yeah, he was up on El Cajon, right?
He was running on the divider, and they just opened up the hatch. They didn't even try and pull him out. They just like unloaded on him.
The hatch and shot him.
Actually, they just shot him once, and it like severed his spine.
Yeah, I think it went through everything.
Yeah.
Do we have some more? I think we have some more.
We have a few questions. Yeah,
let's get to those.
Do you want the movie related or relationship questions?
I like relationship.
All right. Actually, we just have one.
One question?
Yeah. Well, there's probably more.
Is
but
it
I,
a combo? Is it a relationship movie question?
I didn't search far enough back.
If you had to fuck a movie, which movie would you fuck?
Marry, kill, or date? Which movie?
Hello, Frock Castrati. I don't know if you're still looking for questions about relationships.
We are. What?
But if so, I've got one. I am 25 years old, and even though I've had a few serious relationships in the past, I've never lived with another person.
Bang the donkey.
Things with my current girlfriend are progressing to the point where she's spending more and more time at my home. It's awesome. I love having her around. It just makes my home seem more alive and exciting. .. Except for the little habits she has that are driving me crazy. Things like the whole...
Things like the horrible wet chewing sound she makes eating pistachios, or how she pulls hair out of her hairbrush and drops it on the floor, or the way she puts dead batteries with the new ones so you can't tell them apart. I know these are insignificant habits, and I definitely have some of my own, but I honestly feel like I am losing my mind sometimes when she does these things. How do you learn to live with someone else's weird habits without losing your shit?
Let me be the first to say that...
This comes from Courtney, who is either a dude
or a battery thing.
Mixing dead batteries with the new ones and then taking hair off the fucking hairbrush and dropping it on the floor? Deal breaker.
No, I don't give a shit about deal the hair, breaker. But the batteries thing.
Deal breaker.
Well, you could. That's both pretty bad.
That could be coached, though. That could be coached. That's not a personality flaw.
Pulling the hair out of the brush and just fucking dropping it on the floor.
With eye contact the whole time. Just, hey, check this out, fucker.
I just had to hit my pillow when you said that.
What are you, a cat? Exactly. Are you a cat? Ugh. Gross. Fucking throw it away.
There's only so many batteries in the world, man. Some of them
are dead.
So out of the five of us, I think Brett has lived with his lady, is living with his lady. Too much information? I don't want to give too much away about you, Brett.
Well, I mean, she's living underneath the place.
She lives near you.
What the fuck?
She is backpacking. Certainly not dead.
Dear mom, me and Brett are doing great. Yeah. No need to visit.
I am in the Congo, spending so many gold Nepalese coins.
Do not come by the apartment where I certainly am not.
The only thing I'm worried about the Congo is all these cannibals.
Are you guys just fucking making fun of Bits's, wait, didn't one of you guys like go to like school or he was like frat brother?
We all did, except for Brendan. Yeah, we went to school with the guy that...
I did not know the murderer.
Well, I knew him pretty well.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I checked Gmail.
I am in the Congo. Please do not come visit me. I would like to be...
I checked,
come by the house.
I check Google all the time. But,
Dr. Livingston, I do not presume. Go away.
His arraignment keeps getting pushed back, so it's
are you going to go? Is that going to be weird? Are you going to go and pound of 40?
No, what?
Like in the courtroom?
Yeah, Edward Forty Hands.
Bro Hammer. Sorry you getting the chamber, bro.
Broheim.
I don't think we properly
Broheim, you're going to die.
No death sentence for him.
Is that what Broy Jews say when they cheer? Broheim.
No, it's like a Eastern European thing, isn't it?
No, Broheim.
That's Jewish. Yeah. That's like congratulations.
To life, I think it means.
To broness?
Yeah. But I don't think we quite answered Courtney's question.
Oh, you're eventually going to cut them open. So you should not cut them open.
Do you want to see what her insides look like?
In hindsight.
No, you will.
You'll make some mistakes. Some people will end up...
being cut open.
Yeah.
But, and then you move on.
Well, you don't, because it's rent controlled and...
Well, honest answer, Courtney, it's like I think hair on the floor is big of a deal breaker in my book as that is.
And batteries, really?
The battery's pretty bad.
Batteries are worse.
It's also pretty easy to be like, hey, look, it's kind of this weird thing, but the hair on the floor, it drives me insane. Can you not do that?
The question is whether you're allowed to tell them, because I do tell my girlfriend.
Yes, tell them.
Everybody who knows me knows that I have a thing about chewing where like, someone chews with their mouth open. Like, she doesn't believe...
Well, so here's what Vince.
She doesn't believe that chewing that you can chew. She doesn't know that you can chew gum with your mouth closed.
Vince actually makes her put everything into a blender, and then makes her
drink it through a straw. Yeah.
I said use a fucking blender. Use a fucking blender.
As long as they're okay with you criticizing,
I guess we do, of course, and
obviously it's a two-way street.
Honest answer: get it out of the way early and give them something trivial in exchange. It's all bargaining, and you're like, you know how you don't like.
I take shits in the middle of the living room?
Yeah, exactly. I will stop taking shits in the middle of the escalate your bad shit so that you can cut back on it, right?
Yeah, I feel like I'm hardly myself anymore without shitting in the middle of the living room.
Yeah, you know, I'm always like tipping all your stuff over. I promise to stop doing that this week if you will stop throwing your hair on the ground.
Yeah, you got to bring that up. Otherwise, you will snap and something bad will happen.
Yeah,
right?
You can't. Can't suppress that.
On a serious note, bro, get out now. She sounds crazy.
Yeah, we owe Courtney a serious answer. It's like, seriously, if she gets pissed off about you saying, hey, I don't like you putting your hair on the floor, then that's when you know you really got to get the hell out.
I love how lopsided we are. We actively encouraged the previous person to convince their crazy, possibly psycho-religious girlfriend to dethrone God, and then if they put their hair on the ground, we're like, no, we're done with that.
Yeah.
Well, it was...
Hey, rules are rules, bro.
Yeah.
All we said was, if she says she just wants to have a hookup relationship, there's no reason to... You can take her at face value until you...
Yeah, everyone... Yeah, there was...
Oh, yeah, there's an implicit warning there, of course. They're all time bombs, man.
The closest I've come to living with a girl is when Vince brought his girlfriend down to visit and they stayed at my house.
Joe, can we talk about her? Can we talk about her for a little bit? What was she like, Joe? What was she like?
I don't like to know that they're human. Like a minute they start doing stuff, like get too comfortable around me, I start getting bummed out.
What was the biggest pet peeves?
Oh man, I gotta poke holes in the lid, otherwise. Otherwise, they
who me? What's my pet peeve?
Yeah, what was your pet peeve with living with a girl for a weekend?
I don't know, because Vince is so, like, he's always, like, fucking fingering his butt and, like, grabbing his dick, like, just, like, he's, like, grabbing his dick and, like, through under his pants, like, not just, like, adjusting it over his pants, but he, like, sticks his hand in his pants so that he's actually touching the skin of his cock and then just, like, putting it on my couch.
It's funny. We're laughing because it's so true.
So true. He's doing it right now. He's like fingering his dick. He took off his shirt to get a better angle on his dick.
Does, yeah.
Isn't that where your hand naturally goes, though, when you're just relaxing?
Yeah, but then it stops. You have like a whole pageant of fucking hand motions that it goes through. You're like doing flips and like ollies
like
and ollie.
I always wanted to be a pageant.
There's a small micro bead pillow that I have that Vince is pretty much in love with, and he basically just rubs his boner on it constantly. He comes in my room, and we're watching TV. I'm like, can you not rub it on your crotch? And he says, but it feels so good. And it's just nonstop, just rubbing right on his junk for like a solid half hour. I'm like, please don't. But it feels so good.
And he's got that guilty small dog humping a stuffed animal look. Like, I know it's not another dog.
I can't stop.
I don't know how to stop.
How can I stop? I don't even know how to stop.
Yeah.
We've all been a part of that.
I have an anal fissure, so I have to scratch a lot. I'm sorry.
And you do eat a lot.
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. Like, he was, like, exploring his anal fissure in my bathroom constantly.
What? What's an anal fissure?
Not. I didn't take a mirror in there or anything.
You just had one of those small mirrors.
Oh, just like a little helmet with a light on it, like a miner.
I need one of those dentist mirrors.
Yes,
it's just
that's
like
what
a
I was thinking
mirror.
Of. Yeah, the ones with it's angled.
Yeah, exactly.
What's an anal fissure?
It's like when you get like a. It's kind of like
getting a butt rupture.
It's kind of like, you know, you get a little crack in between your toes with athlete's foot. It's like that, but it's on your cornhole.
Or like a split lip.
It's like if you're genetically inferior, it's like where your DNA tells your body to do wrong things.
Yeah.
So how did you get one of these?
I don't know. Just
Castro?
Just sort of opened
you
up.
Poop too hard?
No, let me tell you how. Because you cram your fucking fingers up your ass to itch your asshole harder than I've ever seen anybody.
Well, it's itchy because there's a fissure there, okay?
It's a chicken egg argument, Joe.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah.
Vince and his fissure were made for each other. This is just how it has to be. There is no other way available.
Vince really does get up in there.
Well, if you had a fissure, you'd understand how itchy it gets sometimes. Okay?
We're talking two knuckles deep.
I actually had a doctor put her whole finger in there the other day.
Was she a nice lady?
The funny thing is, I go to like the free clinic, so it's all like
that's not even a new glove.
No, it's really nice.
They have very little budget to work with.
No, it's really nice over there. But the only thing is, the doctors they get are all like young and they're fresh out of med school. So I'm always feel bad. It's like, oh, I got this like 27-year-old chick who just got out of med school. Who's
all
like,
idealistic.
So,
guess you'll be inspecting my nuts.
Yeah, I guess I have to stick my finger in your butt now. Yeah.
So do you bend over or do you go spread eagle?
You lay on your side on the
and they lube up. And
she's nice. She didn't even make me pull my pants all the way down. I thought they were gonna make me get a gown on or something. But
just to your knees, huh?
Yeah, she just made me pull it down, and then
she's like, "I'm fucking going to private."
If like the glove that he put on was like one of Michael Jackson's like twin gloves.
The weirdest sensation is when you're just on your side and you know you're trying to look casual. You're trying to do that look casual, look like I've been here before, you know? Like, hey, what's up?
All the time, fingers in my butt.
Yeah. And then she just, you know, they got their fingers on your butt and she's just like gently spreading your butt cheeks apart so she can put her finger in there. And then you hear her like squirt the lube on her finger behind you. Yeah. And you just lay there and you try to let it happen.
Just read in people.
And you're like, oh, there's a finger in there. Oh.
Can you, do you mind itching?
Yeah.
Scratching a little? It's pretty
itchy.
It's
been like 5 minutes. I haven't gotten one up there in a bit.
Well, yeah, that was the satisfying part. You know, at first it was like, oh, God, there's a finger in my butt. I'm like, oh, but then I don't have to scratch for, you know, that's like a good 5 minutes of not having to scratch. So that was good.
Do you tip after that or how does that work?
I felt like I should. This is for you. I just made eye contact when I said
tuck it
thank
into her
you.
Boobs and walk out. Dip, that's a little something from Papa.
Yeah, there you go.
Did you ask for the glove
as a souvenir? No, I didn't. All right. Well, enough about my butthole. We do have some movie questions. I thought this was a good one. Are there any TV shows or movies that you watched growing up that, upon review as an adult, you realize now are absolute garbage?
Transformers, the cartoon, the one where he dies.
The movie?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like any of those have enough nostalgic value that they're not terrible.
The problem is like if you watch it yesterday and you critique it honestly, people are like, oh, what are you talking about? Like people that haven't seen it in 12 years think that it's amazing and they get really mad.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily argue it's amazing, but it holds enough value in the sense of like, I watched this when I was young and I actually didn't have a care or bills or a job to worry about. And it sort of, you know, brings back those sort of memories. The only one that I could think of that I only remember one thing about the movie and I knew it was a pretty shitty movie. Don't know if you guys remember the movie Krull.
Yeah, he's got the the boomerang with the spikes on it.
That's the only thing that anyone remembers about that movie because it was shitty. You remember the spike?
I get it confused with Beastmaster.
What about the giant could die? He could either choose to die like at a certain age, or he would die a horrible death. Remember, and then he got crushed by the stone door as it closed in order to
what
like
the
allow
fuck
Krull
are you talking about?
Oh, let it finish. Let it finish the whole movie. I want to hear how this ends.
Was that in Krull?
Yeah, remember, okay, so there's a Cyclops, right? And Cyclops can either, okay, so there's a Cyclops, right? And the Cyclops
is that your nerd voice? You're good at robots, but bad at nerd voice. That's weird. That's weird that you'd be good at one and not the other.
Right. Yeah, but if you saw my body posture, you would have been.
Oh, gotcha. It's a visual thing.
So the Cyclops, they can either die at a certain age, or they can choose to live beyond that, but then they have to die a horrible death. So in the movie, the Cyclops chooses not to die because he wants to help Krull on his adventure, right? And so
is the guy's name Krull?
He's holding up a gate, this stone gate. He holds up the stone gate while Krull and his chick pass through, and then the stone gate crushes him and mushes him to death. And I just remember that because I had nightmares about it for like 30, almost my whole life. I had nightmares about it.
I actually, this is not necessarily that great of an example because I remember thinking that remember kind of always thinking it sucked, but I had to rewatch Big Trouble in Little China in its entirety the other day for this other podcast that I get on.
I love that movie.
That movie like that is better, right? Fucking horrendous.
Really?
It is terrible. No, you don't. When's the last time you saw it?
Well, see,
college. I saw
horrible.
It in college.
It makes no sense. Yeah. It's just like a bunch of random things that they never follow up on.
There's like a giant wolf man running around for some reason.
With green eyes?
Yeah. Yeah, it is like that movie is an infomercial for like why you shouldn't do cocaine because it's just like a bunch of
well, completely nonsensical things
if
together.
Kids that we, movies we liked when we were younger, if we were forced to watch the entire thing, there's plenty that would be like, wow, that was painful. Yep.
I will say this. I remember liking The Rock a lot when it came out, and if I try to watch The Rock now.
You brought this up many times, and The Rock is fucking kick-ass.
No, it's not. I don't know if it's just that I recognize all the like obnoxious Michael Bay tropes that are the same. Or I don't know if I could cut out all the Michael Bay movies I've seen since The Rock, if The Rock would still be good,
I
was just young and dumb.
I just remember The Rock came out at the same time I realized that people were buying clothes to be cool. So like The Rock and like trips to Santa Barbara to buy clothes from Structure were like intrinsically linked, and I think that kind of says a lot about both of those things.
I don't know what it says.
Well, we talked about Face Off a couple weeks ago.
Face Off.
I was never in love with that movie, but I remember seeing it in high school being like, yeah, that was an okay movie. And then I watched it like, I don't know, a month ago, and I was like, how was this ever fucking made?
It makes up for its unbelievable badness with sheer ridiculous retardery.
Yes. Well, and like I said
unabashed retardery.
It's when it's the movie where Nick Cage plays a guy who's trying to impersonate Nick Cage, essentially.
God.
I caught The Beastmaster on TBS, I don't know, a couple years ago. And that movie's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And I remember loving it when I was a kid.
I loved all Steven Seagal movies when I was young. But I don't know. I'm not convinced that those aren't good.
Oh, what's the one where he's in the coma? Was that...
No Time to Kill.
It's either Marked for Death.
No Time to Kill.
There's Out for Justice.
Marked for Death.
It's not Marked for Death. Hard to Kill. Marked for Death is the one. It's either Hard to Kill or Out for Justice.
Probably Death for Hire.
Death for Hire.
Death for Hire.
The one where he's the cop and he's in the coma. I saw that maybe 2 years ago, and I was like, is this
real? Yeah, where he's John Doe.
He's John
and
Doe,
I didn't realize John Doe was just like a standard name they gave to all coma people.
Yeah, he was John Doe, and then there's that scene where you can't really move, and he's like... He's like getting wheeled in the gurney. And he's
Sleep
like
until vengeance.
He's trying to hit the elevator buttons with his cane, but he's got like the really bad fake beard on because he's been in a coma for so long.
We should have a new contest instead of Paul Blart Presents, just like names that could be Steven Seagal movies.
Oh, yeah. That's a great.
Sleeping for Justice.
Broadcast at gmail.com. Your best Steven Seagal movie titles.
I like Death for Hire.
Death for Hire is really
That's got to be one that's already.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was trying to rent. I think I'd already seen Marked for Justice, and I was trying to get like
Marked for Death.
Marked for Death. I had already seen Marked for Death, and I was trying to get Out for Justice.
Marked for Justice was okay.
Marked for Justice.
I still
have been marked.
I still can't get for
justice.
Straight. And I remember we confused them at the time, and then I got home and I realized it was the same movie, and I cried because I couldn't.
You just keep renting the same Steven Seagal movie over and over again.
Yeah.
And the clerk just thinks you're a fucking psychopath. That guy has rented Death for Hire like 30 times. Every weekend he comes in here and is really mad about it when he comes back.
I like that you shed a tear. Awesome. All of his movies are adjectives.
Yeah, that's true.
They all describe
They start with a verb.
Right. Kind of. Under Siege. Well, so...
That's a preposition.
Yeah.
We just fucked our whole theory.
No, we did. I guess, but they're all sort of like...
Involve words.
I'm not good enough, like, grammatically. Vince can probably help out. But they're all... Yeah, they're all sort of like... They're all describing a certain state. So it's not necessarily an adjective.
Whoa. State, maybe, but definitely not space nor time.
Right.
Yeah, it's a mission. It's a mission marked for... Yeah. It's a description.
Phrase. I think it was Rutger. I believe it was Rutger Hauer, and he was a ninja, but he was
blind. Black Rain.
Was that it?
American
I
Ninja.
It was Blind something.
He's blind, right?
Blind Fury.
Blind. What was it, Joe?
Well, no, Black Rain was the Michael Douglas one where he kills all his Japanese people.
Right. But I think it was Blind Fury. I think. Blind Justice or Blind Fury? Yeah,
I thought there was
American
also
Ninja was sweet.
Blind for Fury
because
they ride dirt bikes, don't they?
Yeah,
the ninjas.
Well, there's okay. So the first and second.
That's
one
how
were
we
sweet.
Do it in America on dirt bikes.
Yeah, Michael Dudikoff had a contract parachutes. Dispute for the third one. He was not in the third one, which is lame. But he came back for the fourth one. But the
and
first
there's like a guy hiding in the beach because he like throws a tarp over him and then they run over him. He's like, "Oh, you're dead because I was hiding in the beach."
Yeah, the first two American
it's like
ninjas,
Normandy boat ninjas.
Yes, are fucking sweet.
It's hard to find.
Have you guys ever seen any Shoko Tsugi movies?
Yes. Return of the Ninja was so good.
It was pretty pretty awesome. He literally could not speak any English at all. Like, there's no point in having him in the movies.
Except for all his sweet ninja moves.
I was trying to find the Rutger Hauer movie, but he's in like a billion movies. I have no idea which one it is.
It might not even be Rutger Hauer.
I thought there was one. Who was
Look
the
up
crow?
Like Blind Fury. I thought
it's definitely Rutger.
Hey, that was like Brandon Lee.
Brandon Lee was in a
He's dead Fury. Now. Have some respect.
Is it Blind Fury?
It's definitely Blind Fury.
I would go like 91. Look in the 91 area. It's somewhere in there, I think, Vince.
Beyond Justice.
Yay!
Past Midnight.
That could definitely be a
Oh, Blind Fury. That was 1989. Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Blind Fury. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Cool. It's a cowboy movie.
You know what movie?
Blind Fury is a cowboy movie.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's a cowboy movie.
Shut up, Brett. That's a different picture.
What were you saying, Joe?
I was just saying, like, a lot of times when I think, like, when I go back and watch movies with dudes where I always thought Patrick Swayze was a badass in Roadhouse, but like when I watched it again, he doesn't even know how to throw a punch at all. Like, it's all like he's just, his martial arts are basically like he's adapted his like dance moves into martial arts, but they don't look like actual, like anybody, they could harm anybody.
Right,
but
boot.
When I saw the movie, I thought he was like badass. I think definitely fight scenes have gotten a lot better from the '80s.
Well, that's the Hugh Jackman
fight
effect.
Sounds too.
Yeah,
Hugh Jackman is a very delicate man, but you know he's got Wolverine claws.
He looked pretty good in
there's like a
robot fighting movie.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, he's throwing good punches.
He looked very manly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Did you high five him?
I did. Yeah, I wanted to give him a hug.
High five, robot dad. Out. You're my favorite robot dad.
There's like a nice satisfying crunch a lot of times when there's punches landed in fight movies now, or in fight scenes now in movies. But yeah, in the 80s, it was like kind of a slap.
Yeah, their blood was better, though.
Echoey slap. It was just like, ksh, ksh.
They didn't do the splatter thing with the blood that we're all doing all the time now.
Right.
That was real, man.
Real fucking shit.
That'd be a good video for your dude to make, is just all the worst punch sound effects combined, like just from 80s movies. He just went through and like got punch sound effects.
Yeah,
you'd have to watch
or not. Never mind.
We're in a bit of a contract dispute at the moment, but
Are you in a fight with your editor?
No, I'm not.
Can you talk about it legally?
Oh, cool. Dude, come on. Talk about your ex-girlfriend and then your editor in that order.
It's a real story to tell. You're breaking news. What's that? What am I breaking news? That you're in a legal dispute with. Oh no, there's no legal dispute.
A contract dispute.
He just hasn't made a video in a while. I don't know if he.
Is he mad at you?
No, I don't think he's mad at me.
Was it because of something you did?
Yeah, not me. I don't pay him. Uprox pays him.
Did you show him?
It has nothing to do with me. I'm just like this intermediary.
Are you
where
sure?
I'm like,
because I kind of think it has something to do with you.
I would hate you.
I'm just guessing it's your fault in some.
Probably.
If I had any sort of professional involvement with you, I would hate you.
Yeah, the first time you showed me.
Yeah, maybe.
Good thing we don't, because you do this for free.
Your Fissure.
Oh.
You should do it. Maybe we could get him to do a supercut of that. You guys could film me.
Just finger button your Fissure over and over again.
Finger button. Fuck your Fissure 3. That could be a Seagal movie.
Anal Fissure. Fissure
level. Fissure level 3.
Finger button, not enough.
Searching for Fissure.
Searching for Bobby Fischer.
Till finger butt, do we part?
Bobby for Fischer. Bobby Fischer.
Yeah, like that.
The Fischer King.
That's fucking awesome.
A Fischer called Wanda.
Fischer King.
Alan sucks. Whatever, dude.
Vince is, is that funny?
You're thinking you're off limits.
I'm going to read emails now. I don't even care. I'm going to look at my emails.
Face all these movie posters.
I'm okay with that.
Just trying to pretend like he's been there before. Look, I get fingers in my butt all the time. And that's just the poster over and over again.
I did like the title of the new Die Hard movie, which is totally ridiculous. Yeah, Good Day to Die Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't we do this like 6 years ago?
When
the last Die Hard came out, I remember we had this whole long email.
You can't take my Die Hard away.
Yeah. I think Ben had my favorite one, which is like, someone is trying to die me hard.
But I want to live free and not die hard. Yeah. It's a good day to die. Someone is trying hard. To die me. That's what I like.
Comma, hard.
Someone is trying to die me.
Comma,
what I want to do is live free and not die. Comma, hard.
I'm just thinking Carrie Fisher and Fisher Stevens.
All right. Well, we had one other movie question, which is, what are some of your what are some roles that actors that have taken that are implausible considering their reputation? The example was like Ludacris starring in all the rom coms is like the friend these days.
Is that a thing that's happening?
Yeah, he's in a bunch. He was in the Ashton Kutcher Friends with.
I like Ludacris a lot. I'm just going to come out and say it. With the Spike Jonze combo, where the whole video is just about him having giant hands and having
I like that too.
Hot damn.
I like that too. That's why it's hard to see him as the neutered male friend in like a rom com.
Nah, I just picture him with giant hands and it works out great.
He's like non threatening black man. He's like, I wear sweaters.
Yeah. I'm always really surprised at the roles that Kevin James takes. Yeah. No. Too soon? No.
You just said it with too much earnestness.
Oh, sorry.
You deadpanned your way right in the
I don't know. There's nothing I can think of that's that shocking.
I wanted to yell poop deck.
Ice-T like plays a cop, a ridiculous. Like Ice-T like has almost made a career out of playing a cop, which is
Ice-T is just happy to have work at this point.
Yeah, Ice-T
Coors Light commercials.
What do you mean he's happy to have work? He's had work consistently.
How about Ice Cube?
You're thinking of,
you're getting your ices.
I was because I was venting about it because my buddy had a
wide mouth can vent
of Ice Cube with like looking really hard, and I was trying to remember a time when I could remember Ice Cube being hard.
Yeah,
and it's just like, wow, no, that was pre high school before.
I think
47 is a tool.
I think Bernsey put it best when he said. When I was in high school, if I saw Ice-T cross the street, I'm pretty sure I would have pissed my pants. And these days, all I want to do is put my ice cream cone on his head.
Wait, Ice-T or Ice Cube?
Ice Cube. Ice
Cube. You did it too.
No, Ice-T is different.
You said Ice-T
has not had like quite a metamorphosis. Right. It's kind of sad to watch him.
Ice-T was always a little.
He hasn't done any kids' movies.
But he's always been a little tongue in cheek about his hard assness, too. Right, whereas true. Ice Cube was.
He started a metal band and all that stuff. Yeah. Ice-T, keep them kids out the street.
Like Cop Killer, even at the height when he was like. It was always a little overblown. He kind of enjoyed that. Whereas Ice Cube was.
Also, his movie stuff and TV stuff also seems a little tongue-in-cheek to where he like gives it just enough tongue-in-cheekness to where he carves out this place where this is where I actually live in human.
I'm only half acting and the other half's kind of laughing at the
and
fact that
Ice-T is still pretty awesome because I for some reason Amy Mann called him out on Twitter and he's like, who the fuck is this bitch Amy Mann? Go eat a bag of hot dicks.
Is that really what he said?
Yeah.
Wow. So that was the greatest tweet of all time until Joe came along.
Until Joe came along, yes.
Guinness recognizes. The one thing I will say about Ice-T is the only thing he does that ever makes me sad is I don't watch Ice and Coco, but I've seen a couple clips of it.
Oh my God, it's so
sad.
But
when he's doing the sad like reality show husband thing where he has to pretend to support her music career and he has to like sit in some studio where she makes a terrible song and
that's
like
hot, man.
There's always that scene where there's these poor producers that have to sit there nodding their head to this fucking horrible song while some
just
dumb reality show
the
chick
check comes in.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's so sad.
Well, she just like queefs on the microphone.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, this beat is hot. Yeah, and
this is your jam, girl.
I was gonna say because Ice-T, he's whatever. He's doing his thing, but then that reality show is really bad. He wasn't surviving the game, though, so that was pretty good.
Man,
yeah, body count,
Body Count was sweet. The metal band that he did?
Yeah, I know, right?
Cop Killer.
Good, yeah. Well, they did the metal versus Cop Killer. Yeah. I think the first song on that album was There Goes the Neighborhood, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought that in like the bargain bin at the warehouse. Remember the warehouse?
Where?
What?
The warehouse.
Yeah.
Was that Tower Music?
Nope.
No, it's
different.
Separate. And they did music
Your
and
Tower
metals.
Music's competitor.
Yeah. Warehouse went bankrupt way before Tower.
Yeah.
So I realized that Bag of Dicks might be reaching its apogee at this point in popular culture, but man, I love that phrase.
Yeah.
I love that almost as much as fucktard. Right? Like Bag of Dicks.
Fucktard's passé, I think.
Yeah.
Really?
I had a football coach call me fucktard once.
Yeah. I'm not. What? Why do I mean keeping up with the kids think on Twitter? Fuck Joe King.
I think
Twitter
think
Joe
fucktard and ass clown I think went out about like
a year ago.
Vince Mancini, the tastemaker.
I'm just saying. It's,
did we talk about Karate Judge? Because that's you.
Oh, that was an excellent sidekick. Your karate is most excellent.
That's an obscure callback.
Yeah. We never mentioned it on the broadcast. It's an uncallback.
Does that make it better or worse?
Hilarious. My Gavin is my fist.
That makes it better that no one understands what I'm talking about. Typical Brett.
I wield it in the name of justice.
Even Ben's confused. I don't know where this is coming from.
Karate Judge. He judges karate with a wig on.
Right. Oh, of course he does.
No, it's but hilarious. I think he also knows karate as well.
Yeah. Right. He down speaks to the.
He practices when he's not practicing.
Snap.
What?
It's science, kid. Think
you
about
obviously
it.
Obviously, don't understand it, Vince.
Clearly,
this is clearly a concept that is too broad for you to wrap your brain around. Your puny blogger brain. Why don't you go back to your mom's basement?
No. Hey, do you think Steven thinks he knows everything?
Yes.
In the world?
Yes.
Did you see him when he was laughing? Like, he was just laughing at the reporter when they're asking, when he's like, did you pick this fight correctly? And Steven Seagal's like, oh, of course I did. And he's like, and the reporter's like, how did you know? And Steven Seagal just laughs in his face like, how could you even ask? How did I know? And he's like, I think I have a pretty good eye.
With these yellow lens glasses.
Yeah.
My vision is extremely
unimpaired by bullets. It doesn't matter how many bullets you shoot at me, I will be able to call the match.
I have exceptional night vision.
Well,
I'm a quarter raccoon on my mother's side.
Thing is, I'm
watching this video right now. It's like it says Steven Seagal at the 1993 All Japan Aikido Open, and he's just kicking the shit out of this like 5'1" Japanese guy, just repeatedly just throwing him everywhere.
I don't know what
he's
they're
so
doing in those.
Beforehand.
It's just like a bunch of guys running at Steven Seagal, and then he like twists their finger, and then they do like 12 somersaults. And yeah,
you have to have really nimble opponents to be defeated.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules of Aikido are, but they're very.
Be defeated is their only rule.
I have some of that interview that I was talking about.
Ariel Hall. Post-fight at UFC 135 where John Jones just submitted Quentin Rampage Jackson, and we've run into Sensei Steven Seagal. How are you, sir?
Good, brother. How are you?
So what brings you here? We're usually used to seeing you when one of the Black House guys fight. Then
no,
there weren't.
You know, these guys are my friends, too. I'm just not teaching them, but they're my friends. And, you know, I just...
Hold on. Why does he have, like, a Hawaiian accent now? I don't know.
He's gotten very fat.
He's an Irish Jew from Fullerton who thinks that he's Russian and wears kimonos.
Well,
so.
And he does like reggae.
Yes.
And he has a unique physiological reaction.
Maybe it's sort of a reggae accent. Yeah, it could be.
It's
sort of been singing. I just
is
been
he aroused right now? Is he going to kill someone with his dick?
I've just been singing a lot of reggae lately, bro.
He wants the punani now.
It does sound sort of a reggae accent. All right.
Yeah, I heard your sister was dating a howley.
It was an important pivotal fight to me because... depending upon who won this fight could change the heavyweight division or the light heavyweight division. So I wanted to pay close attention to this fight.
I don't keep track of weight divisions too well.
Also,
was that how you expected the main event to go? John Jones submitting Rampage, really? Why so? A lot of people weren't thinking that he was actually going to submit him.
Pretty good eye.
So what about?
He just looked at him like he was an idiot and then laughed at his face. Like, I think I have a pretty good eye, bro. I think I know. If anyone knows in the universe, it's definitely me.
John Jones impresses you.
He has a lot of weapons, a lot of technique. He's quick. He's very athletic. He has tremendous potential. And, you know, but I'll tell you something. Rampage had the best head movement he's ever had and really impressed me tonight. You know, if he would have let his hands go tonight, it would have been something. For some reason, he didn't.
Now, what about the John Jones's in terms of his legacy? Do you think that he could actually be one of the best fighters of all time? Because right now, no one has ever even come close to really putting a chink in his eye.
Say that. I'm not going to say that about anybody. I don't know.
Yeah. Why is he the go-to now? I mean, I know he's still Steven Seagal.
Because it's hilarious.
Yeah, true.
Ben, with that attitude.
Why do I write him about him all the time when he hasn't made a movie and it's because he's fucking
but
hilarious?
He's also never even fought an MMA. The only thing we've ever seen.
No.
Jesus, Ben, with that attitude, you're never going to get taught how to front kick.
So true. Yes, I understand that they have videos.
You just lift your leg up. You just lift it up at their face.
I like the illegal moves he taught Anderson.
Yeah, he taught Anderson to like karate chop people in the neck and like eye gouges. And then
you must consider biting them. Bite them right on their leg.
But as soon as the front kick happened, it was like, you know.
Is Joe watching like
what are you doing over there?
Are you at a drive-through?
Yeah, I'm watching Steven Seagal fight scenes.
That's what happened. Vince turned up your mic, and then he could hear your pornography.
I turned up nothing.
Wait, so Joe, are there any clandestine?
Hey, Vince, did you get that video of those Japanese women squirting, and then the guy measuring it?
I did. Did you ever watch that, Brendan?
No. He sent it to me, and it wouldn't work on my phone, so I never got to watch it.
What happened?
That's one of those ones you just got to figure out. Like, you need to just mail it to yourself and watch on a computer.
Joe sent it to me, and he kept hassling me to watch it, and I finally did, and it was about 15 Japanese girls in a gym. And like there's one standing, like they're on like a wrestling mat, and they'll put like a tube in her butt, and then she'll be like grunting, she'll be like, ay, 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 and then after like she grunts a few times, then she'll like squirt the water out of her butt like a rooster tail. And then like the best part is the murmur that goes through the crowd after, like she'll shoot it out and then they'll be like, ooh. And then another girl is like measuring
distance.
For distance, like, on her knees measuring
it's not,
for
it's
distance.
It's not in her butt, it's in her pussy.
Oh, is it really?
They squirt the water. Yeah, that's, dude, yes. You need to watch it, dude. You need to watch it. They're putting it in her pussy, I think. Most of the time, at least a couple times it's going in their vaginas. And then they just
blow maybe that's
it
how they
out
pick teams. Maybe maybe it's an experiment.
Amazing.
Let's see who can get the most distance out of which orifice.
Why does all Japanese porn take place in a gym? How many gyms do they have? All the porn I've ever seen involves those blue mats.
Dojos.
They call tatami mats.
No, the blue ones from wrestling.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that really weird video that went around where the old guy was sitting on a chair.
Oh God, no! I don't want to talk about that.
Where his like long balls went down really far.
They whack his long balls. Yeah. And he like sprays milk out of his eyes.
Yeah. Oh, what?
It's so weird. He's got the huge nipples.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, he has like
that was like an art film or something.
Oh, that's yeah. That's oh, I
that's
remember that
old.
One.
Yeah, I actually made that. My name is Vince.
That was weird. That
I've been to the future. I've seen it. Looks like old balls getting hit by a lawnmower.
They do some weird shit over there in Japan.
Wait, what is that? What is that video? Can you send it to me?
I'll send it to you.
I don't know what it is.
Joe, if anyone likes it, you would definitely like it.
So, but there's this one part where this one Japanese girl, she just got pumped with water and she's bent over and like she doesn't know if she can do it. You can tell she's like doubting herself. She's on all fours and her face is on the mat and she's like, and she just starts to cry, like, huh? And then they all kind of like crowd around her and like cheer on, like, and she's like, and she just goes, and it looks like a whale's blowhole. Like, it's super misty that comes out.
Yeah.
And then everybody, there's just like this awe that goes through the audience. Like, they just go, like, she just did something really amazing. It's awesome.
Yeah. Should we end? All right, we did get one non-question email that I thought was pretty funny.
Whatever, Jenna Fisher.
Nicely done.
How long have you been sitting on that one?
Hey,
we could ask Vince the same thing.
Yeah. This one comes from another Australian. Hello, esteemed broadcasters. Yesterday, I was at the pub watching a replay of the footy game. While there, I was talking to this female, and it was going well.
Why aren't you reading this in a crappy Aussie accent?
When she turned around to go to the bathroom, she knocked my drink off the table onto my lap. She started apologizing profusely. I looked at her and shouted, "Suck these jeans, Cindy. Suck these jeans." She looked at me in a strange way, and I just said it again.
I still think that she was confused, but she whipped my pants down. She wiped my pants down with a tea towel and asked if I wanted to come home with her. This led to a sucking of another kind. Much love from your number one Australian fan.
Nice.
Well, aren't you supposed to end all Frogcast emails with "I did not get laid that night"? That seems.
Yeah. Yep.
What's that all about?
Was that Tim Mike in Australia?
That was a man named Jean-Claude from Australia.
Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
And a girl named Cindy. I like that "suck these jeans" was enough for an Australian girl to be like,
"Yep, that sounds pretty good."
Oh, all right, I'll give you a blowy.
He's a top bloke there.
That's a real winner.
That's a bit all right.
Sounds all right to me. You want to get out of here? Enough VBs for me tonight.
All right. Well, Joe, what do you got going on? You have anything you want to talk about before we put this one to bed? Any more Japanese porn that you're excited about?
No, I was Googling Fisher in IMDb. I was trying to come up with more names. But Isla Fisher?
Oh, Isla Fisher.
Yeah. Isla Fisher, yeah.
Isla Fisher.
Oh, that's awesome.
Derek Fisher, the basketball
player.
So
what were you going to ask me, bro? What were you going to ask me?
I was just saying, yes.
Yes.
If you had anything that you'd like to talk about before we go.
God, I don't really think
he's doing it again. He's doing it again. He's got like full
cock skin,
full
right
cock rub right now.
It's hot in here.
I mean, it looks like a sock sweaty puppet. It looks like a sock puppet on his crotch.
Oh, he's making it say things.
This is really fun for the listeners, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right, Brendan, put us to bed. Oh, next week, if you guys have
what
any,
what the fuck is going on in Joe's apartment?
Sorry, I was washing my hands.
What?
I was washing my hands. When we were talking, I was like kind of cleaning up. I just picked up this lump of shit. I don't know what the fuck it was. So I washed my hands. Well, but anyways, go ahead. It's a podcast.
For next week, if you have any Steven Seagal movie titles, like Marked for Sleep or Sleeping for Death.
No, Sleep Until Justice.
Sleep until justice.
I'm sticking with Death for Hire.
Death for Hire is good. More
it's
got to
be three words, though.
Yeah, I think three words.
Three words.
It doesn't have to be, but they tend to go better that way.
Yeah.
How about Deep Inside Anger?
That's good. All right.
That's good.
Definitely Deep Inside Something.
How about Raging for Peace?
No. Too Late for Victory?
Too many words.
Too many words for victory.
Yeah.
All right.
How about just Late for Victory?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
There, see?
Late for Victory. I like it. All right. Should we end it?
Yep.
Mercifully?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you can follow Joe at Joe King is Pretty on Twitter. Though I don't know why you would, because he's already tweeted the greatest tweet of all time.
You missed it, fuckers.
It's all downhill from here.
He may try to top himself. Who knows?
Yeah, he may try to top himself. Send your Seagal movie submissions to frotcast@gmail.com. And until next week, good night and good chins.